Welcome to The Watchman, your weekly one-hour expose on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times in which we live, because the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
I am The Watchman. Now, last week we spoke quite a bit about the rapture. We spoke about what it means. We spoke about much of the symbolism that is entailed in the whole process of the rapture, that is similar to the wedding and the marriage of the marriage of the Lamb. Now, that was an interesting subject. Today we have another one, and interestingly, last time I actually ended on the note of one of the parables of Jesus in regard to the end time, the parable of the foolish and the wise virgins. Now, this time I'll kind of turn it around and start with one of still those parables that Jesus gave in regard to his second coming. However, if you want to contact the Watchman, you can do so now through email. The email is ugandanwatchman@gmail.com, ugandanwatchman@gmail.com. That is Ugandan with an N, then Watchman, one word, ugandanwatchman@gmail.com. If you want to get in touch with me, and you can also use Facebook. There is a page, facebook.com/UgandanWatchman, still the same thing. Or if you want to contribute to the continued airing of this show, you can do so through mobile money for now, and the number you can use for that purpose is 0781 087 137. I'll say it again, 0781 087 137. I'll say it again at the end of the show. But now I'm starting with one of those parables that Jesus spoke in regard to his second coming. And it's actually in all three of the four Gospels, as that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I'll start with the one in Mark chapter 13 and verse 33. He said, "Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I said to you, I said to all, watch." Now, those are the words of Jesus, and interestingly, in that in Mark, he says that he gave each one authority, and to his servants each one his work. Now, that means that all of us servants of God do have a work that we are supposed to be doing specifically. Everybody is commissioned to do something, whether you're a minister or not. Everyone is supposed to be doing some work in the house, in the house of God. And he says he commissioned his servants and gave them authority, and each one his work to do. And it says he commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Now, the reason I'm the watchman is because my work is to watch and to help you watch, because that's what I've been called to do. And my work is to tell you that the way the watchman was in the ancient days, at the sentry of the city would stand in a lifted place, an elevated place, stand out there and watch for whoever is coming. Now, they didn't just watch for enemies, they watched for when the king was coming, because when the king was coming, the watchman had to mention from a distance and shout out loud, and then the gates would be opened of the city, because the king couldn't wait at the gates of the city. He had to find the gates open, and his chariot rides right through. So the watchman watched for enemies, he watched for the king, he watched for traders, and found out if they were, if they had come peaceably, or if they were enemies. He also was supposed to watch for spies, and the watchman didn't open the gate. He just shouted to people whose responsibility it was to open the gates, and told them, "The king is at a distance, his chariot is coming, open the gates." So my work is to watch and tell you that the king is coming soon, and open the gates of your heart, if you will, and receive him. Now he says that watch, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. Then Jesus goes on to say, "What I said to you, I said to all, watch." Now, what is watch? Watch means look at the things around you. He says watch and pray. You know what pray is. Watch means look at the things around you. Look at what is happening around you. Look at the news that is around you. Look at the trends. Look at all the things that Jesus spoke about in regard to what you'll be witnessing when he's about to come. And actually, I'm going to show you some of those things, and you'll see that if you start watching carefully, and I do hope that after listening to this you do, if you haven't been already, that you'll see that everything that Jesus spoke of in regard to his return is at the doorsteps. Now, I'll read the same parable in Luke, because it actually is Jesus moving out of the temple. It was called Herod's temple because it was built with the help of Herod, King Herod. The temple had been built first by Solomon, destroyed by the Babylonians under King when they attacked Jerusalem in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and it was rebuilt again. If you in the times of Ezra. In the times of Ezra and Nehemiah and Haggai and Zechariah as well. So the prophecies of Zechariah, the prophecies of Haggai fall around the same time when the second temple was being built by Ezra and the scribes and dedicated. That was the second temple. It kind of lasted but was destroyed a bit later on in about 168 BCE by the man called Antiochus Epiphanes. Maybe we'll talk a bit about that, because he did what was a mini abomination of desolation. That might be a new term to you, in terms of what it means, but you'll soon know exactly what it means then. So that temple was rebuilt, renovated with the help of Herod. So it was called Herod's temple, and it was so magnificent that when Jesus was walking past it with his disciples, they looked at it and said, "Wow, look at how beautiful this temple is." And Jesus told them, "Days are coming when not a single stone on this temple will be standing on the other, because it was it's going to be destroyed," and which it was in AD 70 when the Roman army attacked Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. Now, the history of Jerusalem as a city and how important it is to the coming of the Lord is going to be the subject of the teaching here on the Watchman next Wednesday, so it's something you don't want to miss. But in the meantime, now I'm saying that after that, Jesus told them that do not look at this. It might look so good and so resplendent, but a time is coming when not a single stone will be standing on the other. And they told him, so they sat him down there. And when he sat down, the Bible says four of them, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, asked him privately, "Tell us, Lord, when will these things be, and what will be the signs of your coming?" Now, that's a bit of what we are going to be talking about. However, he went on to tell them this, and I start here for a reason. "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, with drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the earth." Then he goes on to say, Luke 21:36, this is advice to everybody, "Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all the things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man," because so many things are going to come to pass, and so many of them are going to be a trial and a snare to all the people on the face of the earth. And Jesus says to his disciples, which was of course 12 at the time, but now is you and me, that "watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all the things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Luke 21:36. I love that scripture, because I pray every day that I am counted worthy to stand before the Son of Man when he comes, because so many people will not be able to stand before him. But it says earlier on verse 34 that "take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, with drunkenness, and the cares of this life." Now, what is carousing? Actually, the dictionary meaning of the word is to engage in a boisterous, drunkard merrymaking. That is carousing, or to drink excessively. Now, he says, "Watch that these things, the cares of this life, do not carry away your heart and carry it away from waiting for the coming of the Lord, lest he comes and finds you sleeping." Now, it also goes on to say in still the same background, the same saying, but the account of Matthew, which is in chapter 24, starting from verse 45, I believe. Yes, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season? Now here he's actually talking about probably leadership in church, and he says they are supposed to give the household food in due season. Not just give them food, but give them food in due season. And he says, blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find him so doing. Then he says in verse 47, assuredly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming. Now listen to this. What makes him evil is when he says that in his heart that my master is delaying his coming. Okay? And initially he was a servant who was put in the house and given work to do. As it says in Mark, each one was given work. And the gatekeeper was told to watch. Okay? Which is why I'm the watchman now. And which is why I'm alerting you to this. Then he says that, but if that evil servant, suddenly the servant becomes evil when he says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming. So what does he do when he starts thinking that? He begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards. Verse 50, then the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at a time and at an hour when he is not aware of. Now here is the thing. This servant started well. Was put over household and was supposed to give them food in due season. Now where did his heart turn around? When he started saying, this master of mine said he is coming back, but he's delaying. We've waited for so long. We've waited 2,000 years. The apostles died saying he's coming. We've waited too long. So suddenly he's taken up by the cares of this world. And this probably is something that is not too infrequent, unfortunately. Taken up by the cares of this world and by carousing, which is boisterous merrymaking or boisterous drunken merrymaking, and somehow drifts off. At some stage he was giving food, now he has become an evil servant, and he starts to beat up his fellow servants. I wonder what his beating up the fellow servants would be. Maybe beating them up in terms of, I don't know, what you can make that equate to anything you want, but maybe instead of feeding them food, he's exploiting them or things like that. That would amount to beating up. I'm not going to go into the details of that. But he says that the master of that servant will come when he is not looking for him. Now here is the key. Hebrews chapter 10 says that for those who are waiting for him, the Lord will show up a second time. He is coming for those who are waiting for him. Now this servant, when he became, when his heart went off and he thought his master is saying he's coming, he stopped looking for him. And then it goes on to say in verse 51, and when the master comes at a time when he is not aware of, it says verse 51, and he will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. Okay, now why the hypocrites? Because he does not stop being a servant, only he stops serving God. So he has the picture of a servant. He was at some stage, he was a servant of God. He has a picture of a servant, and he stays in his position. But now instead of feeding the flock, he is beating them up. Now beating can mean anything, I told you. Now, so he appoints him his portion with hypocrites, okay? And then it says there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, so here the Lord told us, cautioned all of us to beware, and he gave the signs. The signs are all over the Bible, and we are going to be discussing those right now. They are all over the scriptures, and we're going to talk about them and give a complete and very easy expose on the signs that you should be looking out for. And quite frankly, they are all over the place. You can't deny them now. But I want you to understand that Jesus did not intend for his children to be taken by surprise by the coming of the Lord. It is not supposed to be a big surprise for us. Actually, it's supposed to be a snare only to those who are not looking out for it. But those who are watching and praying will know the times and the seasons. How do I know that? Because that is how it was in the first coming. But before we get to that, I'll read for you 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2. And it says, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. But now, as a thief in the night, not to us, it says in verse 3, for when they say peace and safety, they, not us. And Paul is writing to the church, and he's talking not about the church, he's talking about those outside. So he says, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. Okay, so it is not talking about us, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But then he says in verse 4, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. Now, the purpose of the watchman is to make sure that you are not in darkness, so that when the day comes, it does not overtake you as a thief, because you are supposed to be in the know. So God never intended for his children to be taken by surprise at Christ's return. That is why some people, of course, say, I mean, when he comes, let's just live for God. And I told you last time that that doesn't count, because when the disciples asked him privately, tell us, when will this be? When will the signs be? He did not tell them, just live your lives. When I come, I come. No, he gave them the signs, and they are right there in the Bible. So, and the clues are all over the Bible. And now there are people who are supposed, the Bible says in 1 Chronicles 12:32, the sons of Issachar had understanding of the times, and they knew what Israel ought to do. And their chiefs were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. Now, when David was assembling an army to go and take over from Saul, which was a very important time in Scripture, because the lineage of the kings of Israel, which was in the tribe of Benjamin, which is Saul's tribe, was turning to the tribe of Judah, and we all know it had to be in the tribe of Judah, which is the tribe of David, and Jesus is the son of David. Now, when David was assembling that army that went and took over finally from Saul, he had people from the 12 tribes of Israel, and each one of them had their specialty. Some of them were good with the bow, some of them were good with horses, but there was a tribe of the sons of Issachar, one of the 12 tribes of Israel, and the Bible says they had understanding of the times, and they to know what Israel ought to do, and their chiefs were their command. Now, some people just know the times and the seasons, and we ought to hear them, we ought to heed them, and they will know that this is the season for this. And so God never intended us, that's why he sends people like the watchman to tell you that the season is now, the season of the coming of the Lord is now, and the event of the return of Christ is much sooner than you think. Now, if you don't believe that, just listen to this program. By the time you've listened to 6 or 7 programs, you'll be absolutely sure that we are living in the last of the last days. So, but of course, there are so many skeptics, people who say, oh, I mean, Jesus is coming. Even the apostles said Jesus is coming. That was 2,000 years ago. And, you know, in James it says, prepare hearts for the coming of the Lord is soon. Now, how soon is soon? That was 2,000 years ago. Now, 2,000 years, we are still saying soon. So soon can be another 2,000 years. Well, maybe it can, but then again, it cannot, because of the reasons that I'm going to give you. So some of the skeptics have reasons. Well, we just be saved, live our lives. He comes when he comes. But I told you last time that there is no student who would appreciate if they told them, just read, the exam comes when it comes. That is not fair, and the Lord does not expect us. He told us the season so that we know when he's supposed to come. And even our attitude has got to change when we know that we are living in the last of the last days, because there is no finalist student who behaves the same in January of his final year as he does in October when he's a few weeks away from the exams. It's just natural. So as we too should behave differently now that we know we're in the last of the last days. So they say even the early church thought Jesus was about to return, and you know that. But you know, Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, he says, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days. Scoffers, who are scoffers? People scoff at, I don't know, that's had the definition of scoffers. Reminds me of a guy who's, what's the meaning of big? And he says big is somebody who is very big. Hardly any help there, but people will scoff at the idea of Christ soon return, who will mock it, basically. And Peter says that scoffers will come in the last days. Now, the fact that the scoffers do exist already proves that they are the last days, because Peter says they will come, and he says they will walk according to their own lusts. And one of the reasons people scoff at the idea of the return of God, of the Lord, is because they've been drawn away. Their hearts have kind of been drawn away. Remember I told you that the bridegroom is coming for the bride. Now, why? What would make a bride or a woman who has been betrothed to a husband not look out for the coming of her husband and the wedding? If her heart has been taken up by another man, okay, then she will not be looking out for that day. So one of the reasons people scoff is their hearts have been drawn away from the love of God and for the care of God, and maybe they have other cares. Then it goes on to say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the Father has fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Well, I don't think there's ever been a time when scoffers are at their peak as they are now. And preaching of the soon return of Christ is not welcome, even in some churches. I mean, there are some churches which don't want to hear that Christ is coming back. I mean, they have all sorts of reasons why, but there are so many which would love to. Then one of the reasons that the scoffers are at the peak is because there have been so many false dawns from the days of Paul. When Paul wrote in the book of 1 Thessalonians about the coming of the Lord, and he wrote about it so much, I read that scripture. I have actually read one already from 1 Corinthians chapter 5, when he talks about comfort each other with these words. Now, when he wrote the first book of 1 Thessalonians was actually one of Paul's first books, now when he wrote that, the brethren in Thessalonica thought that the coming of the Lord was like a short time away. So some of them responded to it by stopping working and stopping doing that. That is not the sort of response that we are looking for in all of this. Nobody is telling you to stop what you're doing or stop. I mean, if the studying, working, living a meaningful life here. But what we are saying that prepare yourself for the coming of the Lord. That doesn't mean that you stop the useful things that you're doing. Okay. Now that's how the people in Thessalonica responded. Now he had to write another letter to them in 2 Thessalonians, and he says then in chapter 2 that tells them not to be shaken in mind or troubled, as if the day of Christ had come. Then he says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come until the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed. But you see, after that, he had to warn those people that those busybodies in the book of Thessalonians, people had become busybodies, stopped working, stopped being useful on the earth, which is not how anybody should react to this. So he wrote the book of 2 Thessalonians and said that anybody who doesn't work shouldn't eat as well. And that was trying to address the misunderstanding of the first book, which had spoken about the coming of the Lord. Now, of course, there have been so many false dawns. I will just pick out one, which happened in October 22nd, 1844. And it's very largely known as the Great Disappointment, because a certain Baptist preacher called William Miller, he just happened to be Baptist. This is no reference to anything. And he understood by studying the prophecies in the book of Daniel, particularly Daniel 8:4, and where he talks about 2,300 days, and the sanctuary shall be cleansed. For some reason, he interpreted that as Christ was returning to the earth during the year 1844. And October 22nd was mentioned as a specific date, and he actually caused such a stir across the world because everybody was waiting to see if that was the day, because his message had gone across the world. And of course it didn't happen, and there have been so many scoffers since. Now what is interesting is the first coming of Jesus, the reason so many religious people, Pharisees, missed the first coming of Jesus is for precisely the same reason. Now when the Messiah was about to come the first time, I'm sure the devil can see that it's different in the atmosphere. There is a movement, so many things are aligning, and of course there are so many prophecies that had to specifically be fulfilled before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Okay, and now there's a bit in the spiritual world of understanding. So when the devil suspects that the Messiah is about to be born, what does he do? He sends out so many false messiahs so that somebody comes from there and says, I'm a Messiah. Then it turns out to be fake. Then another one shows up and says, I'm a Messiah. Then it turns out to be fake. And then another one shows up. You understand? So in the final years before the coming of Jesus, there were actually so many false messiahs. And I told you before that between Malachi and Matthew, that time represented by one single blank page in your Bible is actually 400 years. So people waited 400 years for the Messiah, and they were like, where is he now? When he's about to come, there are so many false messiahs who come up and present themselves as messiahs. and they turn out to be fake. So now when eventually Jesus shows up and says, I am the Messiah, people are like, oh please, we've had that, don't waste our time, because there have been like probably 20 false messiahs. But that was just a trick of the devil, so that when the actual one comes, he's seen as one of the false ones. That's the point. So it's a tool, a classic tool of the devil, to build blanket skepticism so that he can divert people's attention from the reality of the subject in question, which in this case is the soon returning of Jesus. Now, one of the views held by the skeptics is that the world ends when you die, and that is a view that is held by the New Age movement, and sadly it is perpetuated by some believers. I mean, Jesus is not coming, you die when you die. But if that were so, then about 300 scriptures would have to be torn out of the Bible, which talk specifically about the coming of Jesus. So that is definitely not true, even if some people preach it, and others say you're preaching doom. When you talk about the soon return of Jesus, they say you're preaching doom, you're preaching fear, you're preaching apocalyptic theories, instead of preaching Christ. So somebody says, instead of preaching all these doomsday theories, why don't we just preach Christ? But Christ said he's coming, and I'm telling you, he's coming. So what Christ do you want me to be, do you want to be preached? We preached Christ crucified, as Paul says, but we also preach Christ who is about to return, as it is also in the scripture. But of course, the reason people say that, and the reason that people think that talking about the return of Christ is doomsday, is because they have become too comfortable in this world, and they don't want anything to destabilize, you know, their worldly. They have begun, they are thinking of the world as a destination rather than a journey. And it was never meant to be a destination. It is always meant to be a journey. Okay? And Hebrews 9:28 says, to those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time. To those who eagerly wait for him. Now, the first coming happened at a time when the people who should have been expecting it were not expecting it. But some people were expecting it. That's why I'm telling you, if you watch and pray, then you will know when the second coming is about, and you will not be caught sleeping. Okay? The Bible talks of shepherds who are watching their flocks at night, who saw an angel coming. Now, I read to you earlier in Matthew 24 when it says that he gave each one his work. Okay? He gave all of his, Mark 13, which says, he gave authority to his servants and to each one his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Okay? Now, everybody is given an assignment. Now, we are supposed to be doing our assignments. Now, the shepherds were watching their flocks at night, which is a symbol of people who will be doing the work of God. If you're a shepherd, of course, which can mean a pastor or any minister, and they are tending to your flocks faithfully, as these people were in Luke chapter 2. And the angel appeared to them, okay, and told them about the birth of the Messiah. So that is one category of people who are not going to miss out on the second coming. People who are doing the work of the Lord faithfully, as they indeed, it says there that, blessed is the servant who, when his master comes, he will find him so doing, giving the sheep food in due season. Okay, then the Bible also speaks of a lady in Luke chapter 2 still, called Anna, who was a prophetess. She knew by revelation that the Messiah was about to be born, and she looked out for him. Now, the period of 400 years that I spoke about was called the dark period. But in actual sense, it wasn't dark, because people were listening from God. Anna, who is a prophetess, and another man called Simeon, heard from God and knew that the Messiah was about to be born. Anna was a prophetess, and Simeon was an old man who feared God. And the Bible says he was looking for the consolation of Israel. And some people will listen to the watchman, the watchmen, really, who are people who are telling you about the coming of the Lord, and prepare themselves, and they will not miss out, like Simeon, the old man. But also there is another category of three wise men from the east. Now, the Bible says, when you look at scripture, you see that the coming of the Lord, every event preceding, every major event is preceded by movements in the terrestrial beings. Okay, this the star that guided the three wise men from the east was actually some kind of an alignment of planets. And it is said that planets aligned in such a way that they created a cross over Bethlehem. Now, people who study the heavenly bodies can know when big things are about to happen, because actually they were created partly for that. Of course, people look at it as demonic, because I mean studying of the sun, the moon, and things like that, because of course it has been twisted in that direction. But then that does not discount what the Bible says about it, which I'm going to read for you from Genesis 1:14. Anyhow, so the wise men came from the east and came and whatever. Now that is another group of people, and I'm going to tell you why it is important for us to watch the constellations and the heavenly bodies. Then 5, there is a group of people who are unbelievers, who didn't want to believe in Christ, who didn't want to believe in the soon returning of Christ, but I mean they didn't want to believe in Christ, but they knew something is happening. Now I'll tell you that it's not just Christians who believe that the Lord is coming, but there are other people who believe, who do not want to believe in Christ, but who know, like Herod. Herod knew that Christ was born. He called the scribes and asked them, and the Pharisees, and asked them, what does the Bible say? I mean, what do the scriptures say about the coming of the Messiah? This is going to be born in Bethlehem. And Herod knew that the Messiah was born in Bethlehem. Only he wasn't interested in believing in him. He was interested in killing him. Now, there is that category of people who will know that Jesus is coming, but they don't want to know for the purpose of believing. They want to know for the purpose of resisting. And some of them are the New Age philosophy, which has its way, which is kind of even infiltrated the church in some of its facets. You hear people talking, saying things which they don't really understand. New Age, you know, terminology, which they hear from somewhere, karma, you know, the principle of karma, and they don't even know what karma is. And you hear Christians saying those things, and they don't know where those things originate from. And yet they are actually so anti-God. Anyway, I mean, the whole talk of karma, of Mother Earth, you don't know where that talk came from. And you just repeat it, and it is very New Age and against your faith if you are a believer. So, now listen to what the New Agers say. They're introducing the people who believe in their things, introducing them to the rapture, okay? To an event, they say. In a time ahead when people will be taken off the earth. Now that is New Ages. One of the authors, a man called George Van Tassel, claimed to have had an encounter with a space brother called Ashtar, who he says is one of the Council of Seven Lights. Of course, those are demons, And Ashtar told him, now this was written in 1952. Ashtar told him, according to what this man wrote, that he was going to save mankind from himself. Now he left it at that because that was so many years ago. Save mankind from himself. Now the second author in 1980, who also claims to have spoken to Ashtar, a lady called Thelma Terrell, in a book, she wrote a book called Project World Evacuation. World evacuation. She claims that planet Earth would be spared certain annihilation, by an extraterrestrial evacuation of millions of people who threaten the harmony and evolution of Earth. Now I'm quoting from that book. And this lady, who refers to herself as the messenger of light, she says she writes for those disciples of a higher revolution, now talking about themselves. And she says that there's going to come a time when there will be a mass evacuation of people from the Earth. So she goes on to say, we watch diligently the threat of a polar shift for the planet in your generation. Now she's writing in the 80s, talking about telling believers in New Age, which is a demonic kind of belief system, that watch out for a time when there's going to be a mass evacuation. Then she said such a development would create a planetary situation which none could survive. So this necessitates evacuation so that the Earth can survive. Otherwise, if certain people are not taken off the earth will not survive. Now, then the third author, who wrote, in a quarterly magazine called Connecting Link, which is a quarterly New Age publication, an author called Kay Wheeler, who is known by her spiritual name Osmana, said in an article that referred to the removal of many beings from the planet. there is much happening, now I'm quoting, there is much happening on your planet at this time. The mother, talking about Mother Earth, the mother is cleansing, okay? It is all that she knows to do at this time to clear herself of the pollution that exists within her body. Now, what these people say is that the earth is like a human being, is created like a human being and has the ability to remove toxins from the body. So in much the same way as your body removes unwanted stuff, excreta, really, they say, they claim the earth has the ability to do the same. And they say now, at a certain time, not far away from now, the earth is going to do that in order to survive, in much the same way as your body would not survive if you did not you know, go through the process of removing toxins from your body. So they claim the earth is similar. Then it says a group of individuals described as the pollution that exists within Mother Earth's body. She says now a group of individuals who are described as a pollution have appointments to leave Earth. And according to this gentleman called Wheeler, all those who keep the Earth held back because their thought patterns are of the past are going to be removed. Okay? Many of these beings who are leaving this planet at this time have completed that which they came to do. It is a time of great rejoicing for them, so do not feel sad about their leaving. They are going home. Many of these beings must move on, for their thought patterns are of the past. They hold on to thoughts that keep the earth back. Do you know whom they are talking about? They are talking about Christians. They are saying people who believe in Christ and who do not believe in all the theories thrown about by New Age, which are being consumed en masse by so many people, unfortunately, that the people who have the Christian faith in its originality are polluting the earth with backward thought processes. And they are like excreta in the human body. Like excreta is in the human body, they are, so are they to the earth. Now they mention a time ahead when they will be expunged off the face of the earth. Of course, they are twisting what the Bible calls the rapture, and they are saying that these people will be taken away. Now, of course, the devil is preparing people for the deception that will happen when the rapture occurs and so many Christians are taken off the face of the earth. So they will tell them, we told you this is the moment when the earth is going to expunge all people who are polluting it, and take them away to some place. So they will make the people who have stayed behind be happy that they have been left behind, because apparently they are the ones who have the modern thinking, yet actually they are in serious trouble. Okay. Now another author called Barbara Machiniak echoes the theme of the earth changes and coming disappearance now of millions of people in her book Earth Pleiadian Keys to the Living Library. The book was compiled from 13 apparently trans channeling sessions. These people call themselves channelers. They get messages directly from demons, and they are saying there's coming a time when, well, people are going to be removed off the face of the earth. Now they are so they are so bold. Later on, by the time they go to 2000, they became very clear, especially this lady called Barbara. She says, if human beings do not change, if they do not make the shift in values and realize without earth they could not be here, then earth, in its love for its own initiation, is reaching for a higher frequency, which will bring about a cleansing, which will balance it once again. Then she says, there is a potential for many people to leave the planet in one afternoon. Then now they move on to using biblical language. The people who leave the planet during the time of earth changes do not fit here any longer. That is Christians whose thought patterns are backward. I'm sure you've heard people saying you're backward. If you do not support homosexuality, you're backward, lacking exposure. Now that is just the beginning of it all. Now towards it, and other things, if you believe in Christianity, they say you're backward. Now this is the beginning of the New Agers making the Christian faith sound backward and, you know, outdated, archaic, and all those things. And they say that there is a potential for people to leave the planet in one afternoon, and the people who leave the planet during the time of the earth changes do not fit here any longer, and they are stopping the harmony of the earth. Then it says these are individuals who pollute the earth, whose thought patterns are out of sync with the universal consciousness of force. People who do not go along with the plan, they will be removed to bring about a higher frequency that Mother Earth desires. She goes ahead to say it will happen in the twinkling of an eye. Now the Bible also says that, okay, these people twist it around and go and say that their aliens are going to bring spaceships, and in a twinkling of an eye, And I'm quoting these things in a twinkling of an eye. Certain people whose thinking is backward will be taken off the face of the earth. Of course, now for us we'll be jubilating because we'll go and be with Christ, we so-called backward people. But these people will be deceived to think that they are the lucky ones who are staying on earth. Yet in real sense, they will be in serious trouble. It says that, and all the globe mankind will be lifted, levitated, shall we say, by beams from our small ships. Now this is an apparent alien saying that their spaceships will come and take people. Of course, that is them twisting the story of the rapture. Then after the rapture, the new agers are planning to be in total control, and they say they will have 1,000 years of peace when Christians are being taken away and people with backward thought processes are being taken away. And this, I'm reading their literature, by the way, and I've read some of their literature, and it is full of high level deception. The Bible, Jesus said that that God will, those who refuse to believe the truth, God will send them a strong delusion that they may believe a lie. And these lies are so well crafted that you can actually believe them. If you are not grounded on the truth, these lies of these new ages are so well grounded, you can actually believe them. But Jesus goes ahead to give some of the signs of the times of the end. And I'll read in Matthew chapter 24. And now I'm telling you that there are people who know the rapture is going to take place. Unfortunately, some of the unbelievers seem to believe it more than the believers. Now that is sad. Only, of course, they twist it in a deceptive way that has been handed down to them by devils. So, I'm talking about the signs of the end. And you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom will rise up against kingdom. And it says, and there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Now this is a time that we are going to speak about, when lawlessness abounds, when people who believe the truth are presented as ancient, as archaic. Now this is a clear sign that you are living in the last days. And Jesus goes on to say, through patience you shall redeem your souls. So do not let somebody impart on you his way of thinking, apparently, because it is modern to believe that homosexuality is okay. It is not okay. The Bible says clearly that it is not modern to believe some of the things they believe. Don't care to be modern. Care to be Christian, because when Christ comes, he's not coming for modern people, he's coming for his disciples, and make sure you are one of them. So do not let people deceive you in an attempt to sound that you are elite, you went to school, you know, you are all this. So you've been fed on all this literature of people who are drunk with New Age theory. But the Bible says in Isaiah 51 and verse 6 that the earth will grow old like a garment. Now God made the current world to last a certain time, okay, and after that some time it starts to grow old like a garment. Now that the Bible two times mentions the earth growing old like a garment. Now how does an old garment look like? An old garment is one which is so unpredictable. I mean, you know what an old thing which is past its manufacturer's date is. For instance, if you've driven an old car which is supposed to be on road 20 years and you're the eighth owner and you're driving it 30 years after it was manufactured, it is not supposed to be there. So it behaves in a unique, funny way. You can't predict it. You park it in the garage at night and it's okay. In the morning you turn on the key and it can't start. Okay, it stops in the middle of the road. It does what? And all those are signs that its time is up. If you had bought it within the first 20 years when it was supposed to be in use, when the manufacturer made it to be in use, it wouldn't be doing that. But if you go past that, then your car starts behaving in a funny way. So now that's, the Bible says that the earth also will grow old like a garment. Okay, so God made this earth to last to last a particular time. Okay, because there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. The Bible says that in Revelation at the end. Now Jesus in effect said that it will become wayward and unpredictable when it approaches the end, like a garment, like an old garment which you put a chiraka here and the next day a hole shows up elsewhere and you can't just contain it because it is old. Okay, now it says, talks about earthquakes. Now I've been compiling a list of major earthquakes, or rather earthquakes that have taken place per century. Now in the 16th century, there were 253 earthquakes. Only two of them were major. Major meaning killing more than 100 people. Okay. In the 17th century, they moved from 253 to 378. Okay. In the 18th century, they moved from 378 to 640. Now, five of them were major earthquakes. That's in the 18th century. 18th century is from 1700 to 1799. That is the 18th century. Now, the 19th century, which is from 1800 to 1899, they moved from 640 to 2,119. And now, nine of them were major. That is killing 100 people and more. That is the 19th century. Now, the 20th century, from 1900 to 1999, the number of earthquakes moved from 2,119 to 91,000. Now you see, you talk about earthquakes. Earthquakes have always happened. Now this is compilation. In the 19th century, the whole of the 100 years, there were 2,000 earthquakes. In the 20th century, there were 91,000. And in the 19th century, there were only 9 major earthquakes. In the 20th century, there were 198 major earthquakes. And 117 of those had more than 1,000 people dying. Okay, that is in the 20th century. Now, in the 21st century, the number of deaths that have occurred from earthquakes, some of them are shocking. It's just that because we are used to them, you see the news and you see some of the way, the way the earth is behaving in a funny way. Floods here, floods all over Britain, tsunamis here and everything. A tsunami coming and killing 230,000 people. Would you believe it? At the time these prophecies were made, 230 people was almost a fraction of the people on the earth, 230,000 people. But now a tsunami comes in 2005, Boxing Day, and kills 235,000 people, and somehow we seem to think it's okay. And there are other tsunamis. Do you know how many tsunamis have been since then? There are so many that there is a tsunami watch all over. In Japan, there was another one which killed so many people and caused nuclear reactions and things like that. So many. The earth is behaving in a funny way, like an old car. Why? Because the time of the time it was manufactured to stay is almost coming to an end. Okay, and it was manufactured to stay for a certain time because there is going to be a new earth and a new heaven. The Bible says as much. Then the Bible says there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, and the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts fading them from fear and the expectation of those things which are to come. I don't think there's ever been a time. And when it talks about the seas and the waves roaring, things which you had never heard about. I was watching on television pictures of the tsunami in Japan, and you just have to have lived in this time. If somebody who had lived in 1950 came back and saw some of the natural disasters happening today, he would know for sure that we are living the last days. But for us, we are kind of used to it because you see it on the news, you see it on CNN and what, so you kind of get used to it. But a wave so high that it is carrying a number of cars on top of the water and running cities over. And that is hardly the worst, because there was one worse which happened in Thailand and Malaysia and countries like that. So clearly, the Geographical Journal International says that there is a future tsunami in the Indian Ocean basin, which could affect locations all over the Indian Ocean, as far as Madagascar, Singapore, Somalia, Western Australia, and others. That, in other words, if it moves from Madagascar to Australia, it is a tsunami which is going to cover almost the whole of the Indian Ocean. And since the first tsunami that everyone talks about in 2005, there have actually been 195 tsunamis recorded in Japan alone. Okay, I don't think there has ever been a time when people's hearts are fading for fear. Now, I add the other signs that I have to talk about, but we've kind of run out of time. If you want to contribute to this program, Stay God Air, the mobile money number is 0781 087 137, 0781 087 137, and you can send me an email. The address is ugandanwatchman@gmail.com, ugandanwatchman@gmail.com, and you can also go and look at the Facebook page for the Watchman, and and that page is facebook.com/UgandanWatchman. And if you do want to call now, the number is 0414 27 11 88, 0414 27 11 88. That is the number you can call. We have 5 minutes only, and I left those for the callers. What hasn't been discussed today in terms of the terrestrial bodies and how they are lined up, how they are lined up before the coming of the Lord, and how they are lining up now, the blood moons and all those things happening on crucial dates, we shall talk about possibly the next segment of this show, which is Wednesday at 9. So if you do want the number that I gave you is mobile money number, please do not call it because nobody is going to pick it up. It's zero. But if you want to call now and contribute, the number is 0414 271188. Is anybody interested in or you can go to facebook.com/UgandanWatchman, or you can send an email on UgandanWatchman@gmail.com. And that is about it. Next week we talk about a very interesting subject, because Jesus said that when the fig tree blossoms, when you see the fig tree blossom, know that it is near, even at the doors. I'll take a call. Hello.
Praise God, Pastor. There is a pastor also who talks about it, and he was like, when the millennium say after the rapture, then the millennium, what does he mean?
After the rapture, then the millennium.
The millennium or the southern year.
Now I will tell you, you'll know what he meant when you just continue listening, because we are just introducing the program, and you'll get to know all these things as time goes by, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I was saying, when the fig tree blossoms, Jesus said, then you know it is near, even at the doors. I can still take a call, 0414 271188. So, he says, therefore, when you see the fig tree blossom. Now, what is the fig tree? What did Jesus mean by the fig tree? And has it blossomed? And he said, you know it is near, even at the doors. Then he said, learn from the fig tree. Now, why does he mention the fig tree and not any other tree? Of course, there is a reason why he does that, and we'll discuss that later. What is the fig tree? And what did Jesus mean by that? And what should we look out for? What are some of the clear prophecies that have to be fulfilled before the coming, the second coming of Christ? All the Bible prophecies that have to be fulfilled before the coming of the second coming of Christ. How many have been fulfilled? Then you will know, then you will begin to know slowly what, number one, what the fig tree is. Number two, you begin to understand slowly that we really are living in the last of the last days. In the last of the last days. So do not miss the next edition of The Watchman. And we really are excited about this program, because something that I've been commissioned to do, to stand at the wall and watch and tell people when the king is coming, but also tell them when enemies are coming. That is the purpose of the watchman. And also pray for the people and make sure that everybody, as many people as possible, are alert to the fact that we are really living in the last of the last days. So the number that I gave you is not my personal number. Please do not call it. It is a ministry number, and it is strictly for the purpose that I gave it. So if you call it, they will not pick it. But if you want to get in touch with the watchman, you can do so through email. I told you, www.ugandanwatchman@gmail.com, or you can go to facebook.com/UgandanWatchman. I guess that will be it for this edition of The Watchman. We shall be talking about all these things in consequent programs. Thank you so much for joining The Watchman.
That was The Watchman, with fascinating insight into the end times. Join us again next week for another update on Bible prophecy.